Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa. I give a shit. Are you glad somebody does? How's it going today? You know, I'm a little nervous because I'm doing something new, but also I have a big painting show come. Do you know I do paintings? Did you know that? Besides this. So I've got a big painting show coming up in Greenport, Long Island this weekend at VSOP Projects. Did you know that? You could come to it. You could come to the opening Saturday night if you wanted to. I have it right on my Facebook page, and it's going to be in Long Island, which is a fabulous place. I'm sort of thinking I don't have anything to wear, which is probably the best way to show up at something like that as the, you know, people, maybe people think that I'm not making enough money and they'll buy my work. Who knows? Who knows? But anyway, today's a big day for me because I am doing this new thing where I actually did an interview, a therapy session on location. Can you believe that? I had these two young men who made a fabulous film, and they are premiering it soon. So I went to one of their homes and did the interview with them. Let me tell you who they are. It's Martin Kramer and his friend, it says here, Leo Galen Ralph. His name's Leo, okay? And one of them, Martin's 18, Leo's 19, and they did this wacky film. I read the screenplay and I saw the trailer. And here's, I'm going to tell you how they describe it, okay? The Devil's Pimple, a short film about life, love, death, and a large pimple man. But you know, it was kind of interesting going there and doing the interview and everything. And shout out to Aaron Levine from Radio Free Brooklyn, who came with me and was invaluable in making it happen. And it was kind of interesting because I don't usually get to hang out with young people like that and talk to them seriously about their work. And I have to say, it was kind of impressive how dedicated and really kind of like a little frighteningly sophisticated on how much they know and how serious and professional they are. It's almost a little intimidating because at that age I was, you know, taking naps and cutting school. But anyway, also as a special bonus today, I happen to have somebody in their age group, an 18-year-old named Oscar in the studio. Say hi, Oscar.
Hey, thanks for having me.
See what a nice man, young man he is. He's really well behaved and really polite, and he's cute. He's very cute, and he really wants to get into radio. And he stopped by last week, and I invited him in to join me because today we're going to be listening to an interview of a young man his own age. Or how are you excited about this, Oscar?
Very, very, very.
Do you believe that two young men your age could possibly make like a short film that's 20 minutes long?
Of course. I think anyone has the potential to do anything they want.
Okay. There's sex and alcohol in it. Is that okay?
Sure. That's fine.
Yeah. Do you think your mom's going to be mad if she knows that I'm having you on the air and that we're actually talking about alcohol and sex?
Possibly, but I think she'll understand that's for a mature audience, you know?
It is for a mature audience, that's for sure. But it is made by 18-year-olds. I guess we're all living in this world now, so we might as well get used to it. Not that I wasn't like that at that age. It's just that I wouldn't have let my parents in on it. But we talk about that a little bit, too. And But here's the most important thing, folks. The most important thing is that you must come to the preview, okay? And I'm going to tell you where it is. The preview is at Barbez, which is a bar 376 9th Street at the corner of 6th Avenue in Park Slope, folks. It's on Wednesday, July 25th. It starts at 7. It's 7 to 8. The actual film is about 20 minutes. I think there'll probably be some questions and answers. So if you don't, after listening to this interview, if you don't feel like fully satisfied that we've explored every option or every area, you can come yourself and ask questions. And I just want to remind you that you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and we appreciate you listening in on with us today. And, you know, we're a nonprofit, and now's a good time to donate to nonprofits or even sponsor this show. And you can do that by going to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. We're a nonprofit. We're trying to help people out here, especially young people, especially today. Right, Oscar?
Yes, correct.
Oscar, you know what? My uncle's name was Oscar. So every time I say Oscar, I'm thinking of a short old Jewish man. Do you identify with that?
No.
No, not even a little?
No.
Not even, you're nothing like him?
No. No, ma'am.
No, no. So it's interesting, isn't it, how that name can kind of transgress so well. There you go. Anyway, this was a really good conversation. And, you know, there was actually some emotion in it when I found out. We got to the point of really what these guys were thinking about behind the film. It didn't come out right away, but you'll see what I mean. So I'm going to get the interview started, and I'll see you on the other side towards the end, and I'll remind you where the preview is. Premiere, I mean. So with that, I treat you to Dr. Lisa talks to Leo and Martin about the devil's pimple. So today is a very special day. I actually have actual young people here. I have two very attractive young men who have written, cast, done the special effect. They made their own movie all on their own without any adult supervision, I don't think. Although I guess they are their own adult supervision in this case. So anyway, it's a weird movie. It's called The Devil's Pimple. And they say they've written it together and done it the whole thing together. So I'm going with that. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe one of them does. We'll see what they try to, take the credit, but we'll see what happens. So it's by Martin Kramer and Leo Ralph. They're right here with me.
Hello.
And they are, hello. Hi. I should say hi. Let's say hi, Leo.
Hi.
And Martin, how are you today?
Hi, Lisa and Leo.
Yeah. And Leo. Hi, Lisa and Leo. Okay. There we go. They know each other already, though. But so the thing is that I find this fascinating in a certain way because I think it's, I don't know. I mean, they're city kids, all right? So it's a pretty sophisticated film in certain ways because there's sex in it and alcohol. So I don't know. Is that sophisticated? I'm not sure. But it is really wacky and weird and a little disgusting. There's a gross part in it. So that's my impression. But I'm going to let them explain it to you in the short version. So, okay, guys, go ahead, explain me.
Well, really, Lisa, first off, I have to say that it's a short film.
How long?
It's about 15 to 20 minutes.
15 to 20 minutes.
15 to 20 minutes.
Still editing.
Exactly. So I'll have a hard
but almost done.
Soon. All these parts, all the...
Wait, you know what? We need to, before we even get into that, the whole point of this thing, let me just say this, is they are having a launch and a viewing party on July 25th. This is the most important thing in your life and mine. So you must come to that, okay? So it's really cool that they're... I'm, impressed, you know, that they're doing this. And it's at, where is it, guys? Okay, you tell me.
Barbette.
Yeah,
in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Okay, where? Where? What's the address? Do you have the address?
Do you have the address? I don't know.
I do, but...
Look up Barbette in Brooklyn.
Okay, we'll get it for you in a minute. We'll get it for you in a minute. And it's July, and what time is it?
July 25th. It's at 7 p.m.
It's at 7 p.m.
And it's in Park Slope?
It's in Gowanus.
Gowanus? Okay, and it's only 15, 20 minutes. You guys have to come, and we're going to give you the address in a few minutes. So, okay, tell us about the film now.
Okay, well, I wanted to say all these things you're describing, you know, the sex, the alcoholism, they're parts of the youth culture in Bay Ridge, which is like a non-existent sliver of everyone there's old. It's like this.
Did you say Bay Ridge?
Bay Ridge. Yes,
it's the inspiration
deep
for all
Southern.
How do you know? How do you know so much about Bay Ridge?
It's usually, and it's like Martin said. It's like our muse.
You live in Manhattan, Martin. I know that. And where do you live?
I used to live in Bay Ridge, but I couldn't hack it anymore.
You live like on your own. Like with roommates and that kind of thing.
With one roommate, Sebastian.
How long did you live there?
Actually,
I lived there for
our cinematographer, Sebastian.
Yeah,
Sebastian,
and a character in the film.
Oh, so did you guys hang out there a lot?
Yeah.
Do many city kids, young adults? I'm not going to call you kids. And do many young adults know about Bay Ridge, or is that kind of your turf?
No, just big mafia people.
So did you find yourself in an environment that was, say, unfamiliar or fresh or gave you... Was it like being in a foreign country?
Absolute. Well, more like being in New Jersey.
Yeah?
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hang out there, Martin?
Yes, I did.
Martin spent a lot of time there.
Oh, because, Martin, you didn't have to hang out at your house with your folks. You could just go there and, like, hang out with friends, like, pretend like you were in a college dorm a year ahead.
Yeah, Bay Ridge, exactly. The safe haven.
Oh, man, I'm glad I didn't have to deal with that as your parents. So anyway, so a lot of it is based on that. So tell us, just give us a storyline. I probably interrupted you too many times. It's my fault, but please.
Where were you, Leo?
Well, I was saying, the storyline is based on a true story. It's based on a true story, and it's a story about a man coming out of, or a little being, I should say, coming out of a pimple on a leg. Caused by a bite. And when I say that it's a true story, I don't mean that event, specifically the little creature coming out of a leg, really happened. But I mean that story is the way that we, Martin and I, have told a true story.
Okay, so the devil...
It's
called The Devil's Pimple. Now, spoiler alert, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I did read the script. And I'm trying to understand how... So the script... Let me just tell you, folks. And I've asked... There's special effects in here. So the devil's pimple is a little man, and the little man comes out of this, you know, character's leg after she gets bitten. And I guess the story revolves around the devil's pimple a lot. But that's a metaphor. Guys, we know this. So how can it be a true story if you're dealing with, like, you know, a tiny person, a special effect? So can you explain that?
Well, really, you know.
Tell us a true story. Maybe that's a better way to do it.
Martin, do you?
Can you?
Can you tell the true story?
Can I tell a true story?
Well, okay, you know, I was closer to it than you were. And it's a story that is actually three stories, but only two of them can be told. Because, and Martin doesn't even know the third one.
And now why is that?
It's an absolute secret. The Devil's Pimple is, in a way, a confession of something that can never be spoken about.
Ooh. So, does Martin, do you know what the third, you know that you don't know the third story?
Well, one's not true. One's secret from me. So I suppose I might know the third one.
Just by elimination. But either way,
okay, let me ask you this. There's sex and alcohol in this. So is this something that you don't want to discuss because...
Oh, no. I don't care about that.
So. Okay.
It's just an interpersonal...
So, is there a romance that you in this somehow that we don't want to,
you know, you guys are feeding me because it seems like there's something that's secret in here. And I'm going to go after that now.
There is, but we absolutely can only allude to it and not speak of it.
Okay, so...
But we can talk about the true parts.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me. Yeah, I just want to try to understand it. Go ahead.
Well, one of these things is that Sebastian. It's kind of confusing because in the Devil's Pimple script.
Katie, well, it's only a 15-minute film, so it can't be that confusing.
Short film, but Katie gets this lump on her leg, that bursts open. In reality, Sebastian, the DP, has a condition that caused him to grow a giant lump on his side.
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Oh, did you know this? Did you know this?
Yeah, I know about Sebastian.
Okay. You knew that about Sin Sebastian. By the way, folks, just so you know, the film takes place mostly in the environment with these four characters, one female, and then three guys and a pimple playing Monopoly, I would say that. And then there's some vomiting in the bathroom. But just so you can picture it, it's just basically a bunch of, like, people playing Monopoly. And so it's based on people. Who are the characters? What's your character name?
Leo. Leo, just as I'm.
Uh-huh. And is it like you? Characters like you?
Yeah, the character is.
Uh-huh. And then there's Martin.
There's Martin.
Yes, there's me. I play
Martin
myself.
Martin plays himself, actually.
I'm the only character that plays myself.
Yeah.
So you're just really you? What's different about, Leo, what's different about you in life and you in the film?
Oh, I'm so much more tense and angry in the film.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Then people know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about the female Katie? Who's that?
Katie is, she's actually no longer in New York. She's moved to Seattle since we've shot this film.
Right, but she was in the film and she's a character. So who is she? Is she your roommate? Is anybody's girlfriend here?
It's actually Sebastian's former girlfriend and all of our mutual friends still.
Right, you guys are all friends.
Yeah, we've all stayed in touch.
So Sebastian was your roommate?
Yes.
And he's still your roommate?
Yeah. No, he used to be.
He was your roommate when you were in
Bay Ridge. He's my friend from Seattle.
And Katie was the chick he was dating.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Got it. So Sebastian has what wrong with him?
He's had a giant pimple on his side.
So have you seen this?
Yeah, I did.
Have you seen this, Martin?
It was massive. No, I haven't seen it. It was insane. It was so big.
I've only heard about it.
It was purple. It was like, the size of like a baby's fist.
And that sounds so disgusting. Is this like a chronic thing or is it something that happened to him that went away? Or?
It is. It is actually a chronic thing.
Is there a name for it or?
I don't know the name. Do you? You don't.
I mean, but it's a medical condition. It's an official medical condition. And it's gross. Martin, do you know about this? Does he not talk about it? How does Sebastian deal with this? Well, I know about it now. We all know about it now.
We all know about it. Sorry. Sebastian.
But Sebastian keeps it absolutely private.
And it's a pleasure for us to bring this up in public for everybody to know about. I knew about it before.
So what's Sebastian's feeling about this whole bringing out of his pimple?
I think he's endeared by it.
Do you think that maybe Sebastian was uncomfortable about it in this way as your friends? You're sort of embracing it and making him feel loved, even though he has something wrong with him?
He's definitely not, he's definitely like happy we're making a movie about it.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
We're reaching out to him by making a film about it.
Exactly.
That's so sweet, actually.
We can never understand him truly because of his deformities, but we'll try with this movie.
I'm assuming that's the only thing that's wrong with him, so people don't see that. And he has a very cute girlfriend, or had a very cute girlfriend, right? She was able to tolerate it.
Yeah.
So how is it? So So how else does it parallel your lives?
Well, my character in the movie always, claims to always win a Monopoly, and that is so.
That's true, Martin.
I always win a Monopoly.
Well, I never win at Monopoly, so he always wins at Monopoly. Is how it works.
And it was Monopoly part of your routine there in that apartment?
It wasn't really.
No. It wasn't.
Never was. It never was.
No.
But
no.
My attitude of winning consistently was definitely part of our lives.
Yeah.
Ah, so you're the winner. So let me talk about.
I'm the winner in the Devil's Pimple. I play the winner. That's
you
kind
play
of my,
the winner.
My literature character.
So what about working together? What was that like? Was this the first project you guys did together?
No, actually, since last summer in 2017. Leo had just came fresh from actually making a movie before that called Beach Club, and him and Sebastian were working on something, and they asked me. It was a little internet video series called The Vlog, and they asked me to act in it, and I just improvised everything in there, and they really liked what I was doing, that they just kept inviting me on over and over again. You know, later I'm not just an actor, I'm actually creating stuff with everyone. So, yeah.
Wow.
We've been working on stuff for a year, really.
Yeah. So you started out as an actor, and now you're combining that with the creative process.
Well, Martin has so many ideas that he can't be stopped.
Yes, and I think we need to let our public know that Martin has quite a deep career in comedy. How when did you start doing comedy? How old were you?
I was 13 when I started practicing stand-up.
Yeah, and you've been...
I wasn't good at it always, but
Martin performs, I would say, professionally, right? Definitely.
Yeah,
I consider him a professional at this point, right? Yeah. So, Martin, you have gone from your interest in being a comedian. Isn't that what you wanted to do?
Well, I still want to do it. I want to do
everything
that my mind tells me to, because I feel like there's just I have a lot of ideas, and it's just like, well, I really like the arts a lot. Why stop myself from doing any medium? So if I have an idea and I think it's better for film, it's just like, well, I don't have to say that I'm only a stand-up comedian. I'll just work on whatever I want.
Absolutely. And also, film's great because it has so many different areas that you can explore and develop.
Yeah.
Now, you're both really good cartoonists, too. They're like so talented. You both like draw fantastic cartoons and stuff like that. And I think you do have, folks, I'll post some of the cartoons on my Facebook page so you can see them, but I think your styles are pretty compatible, huh?
I appreciate you saying so.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They work together. So you guys have a big, you have a similar
sense. We definitely
do
the same black and white text photographs with a little, I don't know, there's a similar twist. Even if we have very different styles, but there's a lot of.
There's a similar sense of ability. I would say there's like sort of a ironic humor, no? And kind of a. Some emotional, coloring to it, right? I'll let you, the listeners, our listeners, decide. But these guys are talented. What can I say? They're so young, too. And motivated. I think it's really important for all you people out there to note that these guys did a lot on their own, right?
That's true.
And
that's
so true. How'd you learn all the equipment and how'd you get... There's a lot of equipment in film.
There is. But actually, we've had a lot of help, too. As much as we've done things our own, we've had lots of help from Sebastian, my former roommate, friend from back home.
He's very technical.
He is.
Oh, he's good.
An incredible help. Because the truth is, I haven't mastered the equipment, really.
Sebastian's really good at that.
I have a very baseline knowledge of everything.
Yeah, we're very just self-taught, but He's like the expert.
And it's
so when you guys work together, like, how does it work? Do you write in the same room, or it starts with writing, right? So Leo, you said this was your idea first. Is that right?
It is.
And then, so what happened? How to get started? Would you say, Martin, I got this idea? Or?
Yeah, well, we knew we were going to make the next movie about this storyline. Yeah. Uh-huh. In fact, we tried to make it a couple times, you know, with this loose outline of the plot, just very roughly. And in fact, we put some of this footage, we threw it together and we put it online because we thought some of it looked good, but...
It's called Bay Ridge Rainstorm.
Oh, cool.
It's like the original Devil's Pimple.
Yeah.
This is
like a
remake.
Redux.
It's a remake, really.
Oh, so you made like a sketch of it first. Basically. Let's call it that,
very
right?
Very loose sketch.
Yeah.
And then Martin helped me. We sat down on the computer and we...
Yeah, I liked the first idea so much that it's just like we should just... Even though usually we just do one thing and then move on, I just like this one so much, and I felt like there was so much for it to go on that.
So you really want to develop it.
Yeah, there's lots of digging, developing. Right.
And what is, why the devil's pimple? Pimple, I get that. That's, but why the devil? What is that about?
Well, there's in lots of our movies, there's been kind of a thematic villain character who is Martin, always. It's Martin. Martin's just secretly a villain all the time in our movies.
Look at that sly look on his face.
It's a great role that he fits.
You think Martin? You see
into.
Martin as a sly villain?
In real life?
Yeah, how about real life? What do you think?
Yeah.
You
yeah,
do? Kind of. Like, what do you mean?
Like, he texts me sometimes, and that's...
He what? Kind of texts you?
Villainous of him to send me a text.
Why?
He expects a reply and information.
Martin's demanding. He's blushing. He's blushing.
He is. He's blushing.
I'm not blushing.
True.
I'm turning red with anger about how Leo never answers his text messages.
Oh, you fight.
So in that way, Martin's villainous because he's sending me text messages.
I don't think it's villainous. I think I'm an anti-hero in that, right? About just wanting to know what time we're going to meet.
Well, there's a full anti in our stories, and he's got this seed of devilishness.
So you see Martin as a character, in a way. Martin has character, not a character, because you take Martin seriously, obviously, but he has character. He has a certain kind of character.
In front of the camera, we've definitely built him.
Yeah.
Together in the writing process.
That makes sense. I could see that. So, what kinds of stuff, where do you guys get your inspiration? What do you do? Like, do you go see music? Do you go see film? What do you do?
Well, Leo and I together, we go to the midnight movies a lot at the IFC Center. And that's been really inspiring. Yeah, we like stuff like John Waters is very inspiring.
Oh, yeah.
We especially like the more low budget stuff like House. The Japanese film.
Oh, that is a great film.
We saw that together.
You saw that? Wow.
We're just so inspiring because it's all like, these are crazy in life, but like, they're so like built from the ground up. We could do something like that.
We always, almost exclusively go to midnight movies. So this is like a product of those midnight movies.
That's why we're really excited for the screening of this, is just because it's so good to have like a group of just... kind of oddballs together. We just have.
So who do you expect? Like, do you have a group of friends that you expect will come to it, or is it going to be like, you know, your families? Do you have a group of friends?
I
want to know.
Well, I don't think our families.
Your friends
like
can't
it.
Come to bars. Let's just say this.
Oh, I'm only friends with older people, actually. Martin's my only young friend.
Oh, are you?
No, that's not true. It's true. Mostly true.
I have to wear a fake mustache in order to get in to the premiere.
I smuggle Martin in.
Oh, I see.
We're going to wear a big trench coat, and I'm...
Because you've got like a really polished look and haircut and stuff like that. So you're like...
I pass everything.
And Martin looks like...
I dress like a child.
Martin looks like... what did you say he was... Martin has character, for sure.
I think Martin dresses like he's even older than I am. Like he's like in his 40s or something.
Yeah, I dressed up like I gave up being professional.
No, Martin dresses like he feels like dressing. Where Leo, I see you more as dressing like you know the right way to dress and you're aware of like how to, you're more thinking how you seem to be aware of how to make an impression or whatever.
I feel like because this is not a visual thing, we should somewhat describe how Leo is dressed and how I'm dressed. Leo's dressed like a Wes Anderson character, and I'm dressed like your dad, and that's...
Your dad who is a musician,
yeah,
right?
That's true. That's the fitting. Uh-huh. And he's even got his little tote bag somewhere. Yeah. His dad liked tote bag.
So have you guys gotten encouragement from your families? Or, I mean, you...
About making
the films? Have you gotten a lot of outside... I mean, you're doing it on your own. Have you gotten...
I feel like we're encouraged by our families because especially our parents alone are family friends and they all met doing kind of strange things that we did. I mean, they were in like the original 24-hour plays together.
Right.
They did this like kind of vaudeville sketch thing that was called the Blowhole Theater, which still goes on here and there. And they did like all these weird sketches. Like my mom and his dad were in a sketch together where they were robots and slinkies came out of their butts. And that was...
Oh, wow.
So there's like tight history of...
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. So your mom and his dad, they were in a sketch group together. That's cool. So you were brought up... Well, I know, Martin, you were brought up that way. So was that an influence on you too, Leo?
No.
No?
Not really.
So you guys have known each other since you were in diapers.
Since Martin was born.
Leo was that.
You're a year older, or half a year older, whatever. So your parents you guys have known each other since you were eating baby food, right?
Yes, that's true.
Sharing baby food and bottles, and your moms were like trying to figure out how to get you guys to go to sleep and shit like that.
That's true.
Are your parents still friends?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty long... So you guys have seen each other develop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you always done work together?
No.
Creative work together?
Leo lived in Seattle for a period of time, and I lived here in New York, so we would only see each other for the summer. So we always had this intention to work with each other. It's also like our time's so short with each other. Let's just hang out. And now that we both live in New York... Currently, it's like, oh, we could do this now.
So when did you move back, Leo?
A year ago.
So you guys have only been hanging out for a year. Did you see each other regularly in between?
About once a year, every summer.
Yeah, every summer.
There were a couple, two times a year.
So you kept in touch, but you weren't in the same place.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. So I know Martin's going off to Canada next year.
Yes.
Are you guys going to continue working together?
It's going to be a bit harder because...
I hope to.
We're both moving, but we intend to work with each other. I'm going to move to Montreal and...
I'm going down south.
Are you? Where are you moving to?
New Orleans.
Really? Yeah. What's that impetus for that?
Time. To have more time. I want to make more movies and I feel like I've been restricted here in New York and just like the hustle and bustle of running around and doing stuff all the time is great and I love it, but I need lots and lots of time to make movies and I haven't had it.
You mean it's like cheaper and less?
Yeah, exactly.
Less
you can work less and have more money and sit around more.
That sounds like a good plan.
And we'll visit each other during those times.
Yeah.
We'll think of stuff then. We'll see.
You guys seem like you work well together creatively, and that's something to keep going. And it's time for a station ID. Did you know that? What station are you listening to? Tell me.
It's the Brooklyn Free Radio.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
And it's,
that's right.
And you're listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, which is the best radio. I mean, Radio Free Brooklyn is the best radio station in the entire world because I've listened to all the stations. And this is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm Dr. Lisa. Thank you so much for listening. I'm here with Martin Kramer and Leo Ralph. We're discussing the launch and the launch and screening of their movie, which I am I'm really excited about seeing this. It's a short movie. You guys should all come to this screening. Okay, it's at Barbez, which is 376 9th Street, the corner of 6th Avenue and 9th Street, and that's in Park Slope. And it's Wednesday, July 25th. What time is it?
It's at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. sharp. And like I said, it's only like 15 or 20 minutes. But I think to see what two young people who are influenced by midnight movies can come up with, including special effects. And there's sex in the film. Maybe sex might be with a pimple or something. Who knows? But that should be a selling point for sure. So let's just finish what we were talking. What were we talking about? We were talking about how you guys are like
history,
bound for life now.
Yeah. After this, we'll never live this down.
No, so, but you're both pretty focused on making films now, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to Montreal, actually, to study film production, which is very exciting.
And were you influenced to do that by this past year of making your own films? Was that a big influence?
I feel like it more verified what I wanted to do. I've been thinking of studying film production for a while just because it's something I want to learn more about. I feel like everything else in the arts, I feel like I'm feel comfortable teaching myself in, but that's like something that relies on so many technicals that it's just, I feel like I have to explore more.
There's just a lot of technique. There's just a lot of practical things that you need, like running the equipment and all that stuff. And how about you, Leo? What aspect of filmmaking, is there an aspect to you, Leo, that you're particularly interested in, or where do you see yourself going with it, with film? You're obviously dedicated to it. So,
well, as like a visual artist first, I've been drawing for a thousand years. I it's just like another kind of medium to create new scenes. And I like the storytelling aspect of it, but I'm also a big fan of composition. I'm just like drawn in by composition every time. So I really like that about it. Where I'm planning to go with it is, you know, because I see myself as almost entirely responsible for Martin's newfound love for film after spending this year with him making movies, I plan to go down south to, you know, hide away for years while Martin learns everything and works his ass off. And then when he gets back, I'll cash in on my new highly trained filmmaker friend.
I like that. So Martin can operate the cameras.
Exactly.
And you can be, you know, the director star. Mm-hmm. I like that thinking. You're going to do very well in Hollywood, Leo,
Thank you.
So how much time do we have left, Erin?
Quite a bit, actually.
We do?
Yeah.
Is it more than 15 minutes?
I think it's 17 minutes.
17 minutes. This is great. We're covering so much. So I want to know what you guys think of current film. What do young people think of film today?
Everything's bad.
What's your bad? Elaborate. Tell me what you think. Do you have what?
I think Leo should elaborate because I have different views. But
okay, well, both of you.
Okay, I just think everything coming out commercially is bad.
Okay. But why?
Because there's no real money in it for real creative people, and everything's a cash cow. And I totally believe that no Hollywood-funded movie. Like, they used to be good. They used to use big budgets for good things, and now I just feel like it's all in the garbage can. But I do think that movies like, I don't know. I think there are some good. I think some good movies are like, bad. But I just like to say that all movies are bad because it sounds much better.
You sound smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
being a pessimist, always makes you smarter than everyone else.
What, Martin?
Being a pessimist makes you smarter than everyone else.
Being critical, you mean?
Yeah, sure.
But are there any movies that you do see that, I mean, so where do you watch your movies? You must be watching movies on Netflix or on Amazon.
I actually watch a lot of movies from the library is what I
Martin, you go to the library?
I do, that's true. I do.
You have a library card?
I do have a library card. It has my name and everything signed on it.
And you go and get, what do you get there?
I just, you know, I do a lot of research on, movies.
DVDs?
Yeah, I get DVDs and I play them.
You have a DVD player here?
I have an Xbox and that has a DVD player in it. And I just watch all of like a lot of Criterion collection.
Uh-huh. And what would movies. That, what, give me some titles.
A lot of stuff that I find really inspiring recently is like a 8.5 I saw recently.
Oh, that's a great film.
That's been really inspiring.
Wow.
This isn't on the library. I've been watching short films by Maya Dern, which are all YouTube.
She's really good.
She's good.
Wow.
My friend.
I told you they were sophisticated.
My friend Ava told me about her, and I thought they were just terrific and really inspiring. I really like a lot more of surrealist stuff too, like, as we mentioned before, David Lynch is a big influence, so stuff like Twin Peaks, even though that's not a film, especially the new season. Mm-hmm. I found very
did you inspiring. Like the new season?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah,
that was Leo and I were watching that at the same time, and we both
really enjoyed it.
It was an incredible achievement.
Yeah, so it's midnight movies and that's it. I don't disagree. Do most of your friends feel the same way?
Oh yeah, we only associate with people who have
cool
our own,
people like you.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
I'm a little bit more open. I know people who will see Boss Baby and the Minions movies, but
really,
I'm not going to see them. They could watch whatever they want.
So going to the movies isn't something you do.
I go to the movies. I like seeing movies. It's always a nice experience. I don't like to see big movies in the movies just because they're going to be so full of people talking and eating their popcorn loud. I get a sensory overload during them, so I'll prefer to go to the movies that like all the grandmas are going to go see. Like, I went to see The Phantom Thread recently, and like when the credits roll, I couldn't leave because like one grandma passed out on the other side of the aisle, and the other one died on the other side, so it was just trapped.
That's funny, I was just trapped. That's really that's dark. Are you making jokes about old ladies dying? I think you are. I like that. And what else? What else do young people do that I'm not aware of now? What else do you? You know, in my day, my generation was nothing like our parents. We didn't wear any of the same clothes. We didn't like any of the same music, nothing. But you guys seem not that different from us, your generation.
Pretty much exactly like our parents.
Yeah, history repeats itself.
Yeah.
So do you guys identify with your parents?
No.
My dad's bald, and I'm not bald. Yeah, so
not yet.
My dad's bald, too.
And yeah, that's how we're different from our parents.
They're
both bald, and we're not.
How about your parents' generation? Do you see yourself diverging from them, or do you think, like, we're kind of the similar people? Like, my parents, you know, there was no, like, the idea of having sex was wrong, and, you know, smoking pot was wrong, and staying out late was wrong, and all this stuff. They were very, you know, they had their own. You don't feel like that? You feel like you're similar?
I'm very, I think I'm more open-minded than my parents.
Uh-huh.
About everything. That's how I feel different from them. But I also don't think that's to say that they're like conservative at all.
Right.
By any means. Like,
yeah.
Maybe right. Only minor. But mm-hmm. I'm more extreme.
My parents aren't conservative at all. They're very open minded people, so I don't feel like I'm
that different.
Different in that way.
What do you think is different about our generation than your generation? Is there anything like overall that you can
older?
Well, we're older.
well, sure, but I think maybe our generation is a bit more cynical in a way, just because of like, you know how like everybody's like complaining about like how things were good then, but then like the 2000s happened and everything's bad. So it's just like, well, I guess that's all we know because we were born then. So.
So you feel like that people of my generation look and say, oh, the economic time used to be better and it's worse now?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. So.
No, it's just that the movies were better, really.
That's true. And that raised the economy.
The culture is horrible. Like in my day, you know, like the people, like I looked up to Joni Mitchell, and you know, she didn't have big tits or anything, and no makeup. And nowadays we have Kim Kardashian. So oh, yeah. I think things are worse.
That's the difference between our generations, is that we have more access to pornography now, and I think the older generation is just jealous about it.
It's true. Yeah. That affects everything.
Yeah, that's all.
Really?
Our entire culture is pornography.
When we're not making movies, all we watch is
pornography.
Porn. Yeah,
that's between the midnight movies.
Are they putting me on, Aaron? Do you think? Are they kidding? Are you kidding? Or are you serious?
It's like the half joke.
Do you guys talk about pornography?
The truth is funnier than fiction, is what. I'll say.
That's yeah, true. You guys had porn. Your parents are jealous that you had pornography. Yeah.
And they more had time.
My dad.
More pornography, more time for yeah. said pornography.
My dad clenches his Playboys in anger, wrinkling the pages, and he screams, "Why was I born in the wrong generation?" He's the one saying that now.
This seems like the biggest joke, but that's true. That's not a joke. That's true.
That's interesting. Huh. That makes sense, I guess. Also, it was really hard to get, and pornography, and yeah, everything's changed about that, you know, because the guys used to hide it. Now, like, you know, you got to pretty much know that if you share a computer with somebody, they're going to be using pornography.
Yeah, we're bringing it up on radio, that we're not hiding anything. That's how...
Yeah, and you guys it are free now. To talk about it.
Yeah.
All this freedom. How about discipline? We used to have a lot of discipline.
Oh, I guess that's the kind
yeah,
of
that
big
the
no
discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot, you see a lot of people learning about discipline. Like, when you grow, while growing up, and you watch other people your same age grow up, you see other people who don't catch on as quickly, learning about discipline very slowly, and taking terrible care of their bodies, and you know, making countless bad decisions that affect them
wow.
in numerous ways.
Well, you know, you guys really do understand what really the most, I think, that that's really underrated. The most important part, I think, of being a creative person is having the discipline to get the actual work done. And that's not fun, a lot of it, right?
Yeah. Patience is totally key. But that doesn't bother me as much because it's something I care about. And I understand that, like, things take time. In fact, some things are better with time. Mm-hmm. That's just like, well, I'll just... work on something else in between then.
Yeah, although, let me tell you something, when you get out in the world, boys, eventually what happens is, like, you know, you wind up with deadlines, and you have to make money, and you have a lot of pressure to make money, and you need discipline in order to get that thing done so that you can get to your job on time.
That's true. We are ignorant of that.
Well, I don't know.
I work. Yeah, I work.
Leo has a fancy job.
This is the first time Leo showed up on time to anything I had to do with him.
Yeah, and I was still late.
On set of The Devil's Pimple, there was a day where the whole cast was there. We call him. There's no answer. And Leo's like, oh, I just woke up, guys. I'll be there in an hour.
Leo, is that true about you?
Yeah, that's true.
Why are you like that?
I don't know. It's my poor brain barely...
No, that's
and,
bullshit.
And Leo told me...
I don't know. I think I just work on a different wavelength than I...
And Leo.
That's how I write it off to everyone.
Leo told me...
I'm a creative and I
the
can't...
The day before showing up late that... Oh, Martin, last minute, we're going to change the scene in the movie.
It's just a two for two.
So we had the nerve to do that.
Well, as Dr. Lisa, I would say, Martin, as a couple, Martin sounds a little annoyed with you for you being late.
Yeah, well, Martin often gets hung up on me for things that I do, but really it's only Martin's... It doesn't bother me that
doesn't
Martin's
bother
hung up
you.
On stuff. So
no, but
it's
but,
only him. Yeah. Spinning his wheel.
But how about... You have a good... In my mind, you have a good job. Leo.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. On set or in real life?
Well, in real life, too.
Yes.
I think you have a good job for a young man. You're a server.
Yeah,
you work
at
Joe's Pub.
I'm a waiter at Joe's Pub.
So that's a good job.
Our cast is all Joe's Pub servers.
Our cast is all from Joe's Pub. It's really helping
right?
make connections. Yeah. Yeah.
They're all Leo's coworkers.
Oh, yeah. Is that
yeah,
right?
Entirely.
Wow. So you must be on time there, no?
Actually, they
tolerate.
They're pretty upset about how little I show up on time, but that's okay. I try.
Yeah, Leo
I do
has
best.
A good job for now,
and I make up for it with my bad jokes that they.
Your charm.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I get away with it.
Leo knows he's charm. Leo's a charming one. That's good. He can. He.
I need it so bad.
I'd be in the gutter right now. You know what? You can't just let Martin. You can't. You guys have to keep each other from developing what each other has. You know that.
I won't stop him from gaining his charm, and he won't stop me from losing my charm.
That's true. I never try to stop Martin losing his charm.
So do you have a? So what are you guys going to do over the summer?
Well, we're actually working on another movie at the moment.
Great.
We're shooting little snippets of something. I don't
know. Yeah.
It's very freeform.
It's really more back to the style of how we did it before. It was... We've returned to a more guerrilla kind of filmmaking style. It's just because that's what we used to do before, and after watching Pink Flamingos recently, it's just like, yeah, this is really kind of the stuff that we
want. Yeah, where the
except
camera's
with less,
present at all times, yeah. And we're just filming
just,
whatever.
Just yeah. Less eating of dog feces than Pink Flamingos.
That's true.
So you're just kind of carrying a camera around and filming. Do you have a storyline, or you're just filming?
No, it's kind of, it kind of evolves as we yeah. go.
It's like improv captured in a movie.
Wow, that sounds like pretty interesting stuff.
We really like it. This professional filmmaking for Devil's Pimple has been like a huge... change the pace that, and you know, it's like a little bit uncomfortable, at least for me, because it's the first time I ever did it. That's just like, well, I feel like I should be jumping back and forth a bit. Not that I want to totally escape the other, but it's just like.
Escape the other? What do you mean by the other?
I don't want to stop working on films. Like you said, The Devil's Pimple, because it's professional, it's been taking like a lot of patience and time.
Right.
And
we very much work in two different ways, which is the very professional style of The Devil's Pimple, where we planned mm-hmm. and we wrote and we did a whole map and we
had a script
and
for
we
it.
Had actors mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm.
lunches
we wrote it together.
And then the other kind. Our film before this, Martin and Katie Ride the Cyclone, was very much just shot guerrilla style.
Mm-hmm.
Me following around mm-hmm. Martin and Katie.
So you're planning on making another film before the summer's over?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be super.
Oh, cool. I'll look forward to that. How much time do we have left? I want to make sure I give in another... We make sure that everybody knows where they can go to see this film.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. So...
Hey, folks. So that was the interview. That's that creative team. Leo Ruff and Martin Kramer. I think this film is going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. So I'm going to remind you once again where you can. I'm going to tell you where to come to see it, to the premiere, okay? Come to Barbès. I said it wrong before. I probably said it wrong again. And that's at 376 9th Street, corner of 6th Avenue. That's in Park Slope. And it's Wednesday, July 25th, 7 to 8 p.m. But like I said, it's only like 20 minutes. So come hang out. You can probably meet Martin's dad and find out if he is genuinely envious of his son's access to pornography. I don't think he is. I really don't. I think Martin's putting me on there. So, Oscar, what did you think? Did that inspire you wanting to go to see the film?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Are you going to be around July 25th?
I should be for sure.
Well, you should come. You should come. It's in Park Slope then.
I will.
So do you like current movies? Do you think that are those guys you'd hang out with, or do you like going to like Hollywood movies?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, they don't like going to regular old movies. They only watch, you know, Maya Dern films or something. What's her name? Diane? Whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Artsy films, artsy shit.
You're
a music guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate any type of work that, especially two bright-minded young men like them have created.
Oh, wow.
And even though it seems that they've butted heads throughout the course of the film, I definitely think that that's the kind of price that comes with making such a great production. And I would definitely be checking out that premiere.
Well, they seem like they have a very honest rapport, like a good creative team would, where they can say exactly what's what, right?
Yes.
And that's important. So they got that going on. I'm going to see what happens when they get to college. I don't know. I hope that, you know what bugged me about this whole thing? Not to exaggerate, but Leo, if you're listening to this, you got to learn the equipment too. You can't just count on Martin going to college and learning everything, okay? That's what I'm saying. But, you know, you're both high achievers, so we have faith. And I have this feeling that my new friend Oscar over here is going to be running a radio station by the time he graduates college, because I can see how enthusiastic he is.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yes.
You young people are running amok. We might as well just get out of the way, you know? Anyway, thanks a lot for listening, and I want to remind you to download our app. You know, we have this really great app that you can download and listen to on your phone. You're going to get it if you don't have it already, right, Oscar?
Yes, I will.
And you're going to be listening to this show every Thursday, 2 to 3, without a doubt, right?
Of course, for sure.
You can even call in. There's a number, 718-928-9732, so maybe you'll call in one day. You never know. And so go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone or /Android and download our app so you can listen to it. And then also sign up for our newsletter, okay? Because we have great newsletters. And you know what? We have these really great live shows every month. Like this past Monday, we had this amazing show brought to you by us and Tom Gallo of Look at My Records. It was the Trump Beatles, and it was hilarious. And just want to make sure that so go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter and make sure you stick around, folks, because my good friend Elon Danziger is on next, and he does a really, really great show with stories and music and mixtapes rewound. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you out there. And I do give a shit. Dr. Lisa Levy, SP, Twitter, Instagram, @Dr. Lisa Levy, SP.